Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5.
Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast.
5.
4.
Tech Webcast. 3.
Tech Webcast.
3.
Tech Webcast.
2.
Tech Webcast.
1.
Tech Webcast.
1.
Tech Webcast.
0.
Ignition.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely, perfectly. Roll program initiated.
Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 474, recorded on the 26th of May, 2018. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. You can also follow us at Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the iPhone or Android app. You can also support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Daryl, Jacob, Brad and Aldwin, and our very special guest is Stephen Cooper. Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl.
Sorry about that sort of, well, the audience won't know that, but I but just to embarrass myself, I ballsed up the first playthrough of the intro, so as I said, it's just one of those days today, but we're here and we're live. Well, we're recording live. We're recording live.
Should we live? Why aren't we live? Jacob, why aren't we live?
Yeah, Jacob, why aren't we live?
Talking to the mic, Jacob.
Yeah, that's why we're not live.
Jacob, talking to your mic, mate, so people can hear you.
Yep.
Who can hear me?
Oh, it's very low. No, it's very low, it's okay. Jacob. You're very low.
Very low.
Yes, you're very low. Anyway,
Be professional. You want to be on a podcast, mate? You got to be professional.
That's why we're.
Is that professional enough for you?
Yeah, that's better. Much better. But that's why you answered your own question as to why we don't do it live.
We see old one now.
Yeah, but we haven't. I haven't got the. I'm just about to get the NBN shortly, so maybe we'll be able to. Sorry, no, I haven't yet. I haven't looked at it yet. Other than the fact, there's only been a week ago that we got the all clear to say the NBN had been installed, and now we can go and choose a provider. Recording and streaming audio live takes a bit of upload bandwidth and. That's why I haven't done it in the past, but hopefully with the NBN and having some faster upload speeds, I will be able to, or someone will be able to stream it live. The audio maybe, even if we don't do the videos.
Does Facebook do live audio, live streaming audio, live audio? So why aren't you streaming live this audio, Jacob?
Because I don't know how to set up the audio version.
Yeah. I've seen a lot, of course, Facebook Live video, but not the Facebook Live audio stuff.
I've seen people have used it, but...
Yeah, we'll have to do some digging on Facebook and see what the actual setup thing is for how to stream audio live, because, yeah, it would be fun to do that, but not when I messed up the intro the first time around. That's not fun, but...
All right, we're gonna mention Caillou, Jacob.
Yeah, Caillou.
Caillou.
Caillou.co, who do they do these, if you're into vinyl, then you need to jump over to their website because they have stands for your records and all sorts of bits and pieces. So, if you're if you've got into
photo frames,
yeah. So if you've got a favourite like album cover, such as you know the Beatles White Album or I don't care whatever your most favourite you know, album cover is, you can get a I never even thought about that. You know, back in the day when I used to listen to vinyl when I was very young.
And I see a lot of people on Instagram now doing these photos with vinyl and these women doing these vinyl record photos and actually sort of matching in with the record and stuff. It's really interesting.
Like, a bit like
and I, can I add something with that?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was playing GTA and I in there now, there is vinyl stores starting to pop up.
Okay.
Vinyl stores. And, but so there's sort of cosplaying vinyl record covers, sort of.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've seen a few people on there doing it. It's really interesting.
I guess if they've got, you know, if they're a big Instagrammer and they've got a really big following and you get someone, you know, a new record, new band or someone, you know, an indie band wanting to get a bit of extra promotion, well, they could probably get them to, you know, dress up as their record cover and get it out there on Instagram.
Exactly.
Get a few more sales.
Yeah, exactly. And how's your week been, Darren? Anything interesting happening during the week?
Not anything interesting. Just one of those, as I said before, I was having one of those days. I think I just had one of those weeks. So hopefully it's Saturday now, and it'll be the rest of the weekend will go well. But just organising. I've got my cataract surgery coming up in a couple of weeks, so I've been organising accommodation and I've been organising and talking to the eye doctors and what I've got to do before I come down to Melbourne on the 9th, on the 8th, and all that sort of stuff. So that was most of it. But I'll be glad when it's all done and dusted.
That's on a Friday, right? 8th of June.
Well, I come down on the Friday and then I've got a fast, you know, because, you know, you're not allowed to eat before surgery and stuff. So I've got a fast and then I get admitted on at 7 a.m. on the 9th at the Eye and Ear. And I don't know how quickly.
See ya.
Yeah, come and say good day after if I'm you know.
Well, before that, can I come in and see before the operation or not?
I'll be there. I have to be there to be admitted at 7. So I don't know what all the procedure is. Whether they just take you away, you know, hit you with a big hammer and knock you out, and then do the surgery. And it's not a full anaesthetic anyway. It's a local. But anyway, I won't. Go on with my medical conditions. I'm sure the Tech Webcast audience aren't that excited
I'm looking forward to getting it done.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it done because, I spent a lot of time and had the track when I, it's nearly two years ago since I had the corneal transplant. And so I want to I want to actually start getting some results and better vision out of the eye. And so the cataract is the last thing to do. So to get the cataract out now, then I can actually look at, you know, maybe getting glasses and, or various other things, and getting some actual usable vision in that eye. So that's the thing I'm excited about. I just want to get this sort of done and dusted, basically.
That's good, mate. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Daryl. And Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
Oh, it's been rainy, more rainy. And there's a tropical low coming my way.
Oh, well, you can have that. You can have that. I don't want that. You can have that. That's not good. Anything else, Jacob, before we go to order?
That'll be all. It's all been raining all
the time. Jacob, you can ask order now. How's her been?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you can ask her.
Well, Aldwyn, how was your week?
Hey, Jacob. Hello, everyone. I've had a great week, thank you. It has been the full roller coaster of life in full swing. you know, life is full of ups and downs, and I've had it all this week. So I think the big thing is that when challenges come your way, to look at how you can overcome them as quickly and as easily as you can, and not hang in any drama for any length of time. I think that's the big trick to life, because life will throw you curveballs all the time with different things, whether it's work or relationships or business, whatever it is, or friends. You know, unexpected things happen all the time, and I think it's very important to consistently create yourself and create yourself and look at what's possible for your life. And that's what I've been taking on this last week. I've been creating every morning a way of being for the day. So for today, I've created being peaceful and being empowering today. That's what I've taken on. And I'm actually taking on a VA this week. I had a VA in my business, a virtual assistant, which of course is using technology to employ people across the world. So I've got a VA coming on board from the Philippines to work in my business, and I'll be briefing her on the job at 6 p.m. today. So I'm excited to actually be outsourcing a part of my business that I've been deliberating and procrastinating around for quite a while now. So really working on organization for me in my business and my life, and excited about my Mass Media Masters meetup group, which is coming up on June 6th. I've got an event on the Gold Coast, and also Good News Day on August 8th. And I've also lined up the 12th Animal Action Night as well. This year is going to be happening on October 13th. And we're going to be doing a fundraiser for horses this year. So there's a few big events coming up, and I'm going to be quite busy, I'd say, for the rest of the year. So it's very eventful.
I think I've just gone deaf from Audrey, and she's so loud.
Oh, sorry. I'm aware that I'm driving up the highway from Gold Coast to Brisbane, so there may be some highway noise. So I just put the mic closer to my mouth, yep, so that make sure that you can hear me over the highway noise.
So no wonder you need a PA with all this stuff coming up then. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes me tired just listening to that. I think, oh my God, all that stuff.
And apart from that, I actually went to the gym 2 hours this morning and had a sauna and beautiful shower and did some yoga and relaxation. So I think that's really important too. I think we need to take time out for ourselves. And I went for a swim in the ocean the other day, and it's autumn here on the Gold Coast and getting quite cold. So
it would be now, yes. Yes. Excellent.
Good on you. So, Darryl, what do you think of in a couple of weeks, the WWDC? What do you think they will announce?
I hope they announce a new iPhone, because I'm
That won't happen.
Damn, because I'm in the.
They never announced iPhones.
I didn't think they would. I probably a new version of iOS.
That's correct.
It'll be interesting to see how much, because there's been a lot of criticism in recent times about like iOS 11 and it being buggy, and there being, you know, and Apple might not have. Their quality control might not has been as good in recent times, because they've been trying to push out, you know, enhancements and things. So there's thoughts going around that I read that iOS 12 won't be a radical, you know, big change. Yeah. A lot of it will be fixing and making iOS more stable, you know, because there are a few bugs that sort of have crept into it. So, although they might surprise us and say, by the way, Steve Jobs used to always do, do something big, you know. But I've got a feeling iOS will be a sort of, a lot of it will be, you know, I know it's not sexy to say stability and all that sort of stuff, but I've just got that feeling that that'll be the thing. But yeah, I know they don't really have an iPhone out at this time, but I was just sort of thinking, well, because eventually I'll be, with my iPhone battery is starting to really play up, so I'm starting to look at perhaps it's time to upgrade. So, but I'll probably wait until the next iPhone comes out and get on the bandwagon then. Get on the apple juice then.
Yeah. It should be interesting what they announce. I reckon it'd be awesome to see, you know, iOS 12 new watch OS and iPad and Apple TV.
And get the new Mac OS as well.
Which I probably need to buy a new Mac very soon, because this one's getting old. So
yes.
If anyone wants to send me money for a new Mac, please do it.
It's so bad, it's skirting out dust.
What's a new Mac these days, Darryl?
Oh, look, I don't actually have a Mac, so I don't tend to actually look at the Mac prices. I'm sitting here as I cough and splutter. I'm sitting here with a Windows 10 notebook, and so I haven't got a Mac. I mean, I've got a mixture of things. I've got a Yamaha mixer, I've got a Windows 10 notebook, and I've got an iPad Pro plugged into the mixer for the intros and stuff. So there you are. I'm a multicultural tech person.
You're an Apple person, Apple fan. And
Windows 10 has its moments, I must admit.
What are you more a fan of, Daryl, Apple or Windows?
It's not so much me being more of a fan. I guess I'm a bit lazy in the sense that I never used Mac OS, so I never sort of – and I always thought, it's going to be another learning curve to learn it and all. So I always stuck with, you know, various Windows versions for my computers and so on. I think they're both good, and they both have their strengths and they both have their weaknesses. I mean, the strength of you know, for Mac is that because Apple controls the ecosystem, they can make sure that all the hardware works with the software. And it's, you know, as Jacob and I've, you know, can attest to with Windows 10, you know, you upgrade to Windows 10 and suddenly, you know, some of your drivers don't work and suddenly this doesn't work and you've got to fiddle around to fix it. And it's because Microsoft doesn't do what Apple does. I mean, Microsoft produces the operating system and then licenses it out to everybody that wants to use it, any hardware manufacturer. And so they've got to build, you know, into their system for older computers. They've got to build into their system for, you know, computers with varying hardware configurations and all the rest. And a lot of the time that Windows gets the bad rap is because some driver manufacturer hasn't updated their driver, say, Windows 10, or they've made a buggy driver. But for the average consumer, when they get the big error message on the screen, it's automatically that you blame Windows and you blame Microsoft. But yeah, Microsoft has its issues too. You know, I mean, upgrading issues where, you know, you want to stop Microsoft from sending you updates for a while, and they seem to be sort of pushing it through now that they're going to push it through whether you want them or not. And I know you can with Windows Pro, 10 Pro, you can delay some of the big updates, but you can't really delay the security patches and various other things. And sometimes there are legitimate reasons that you want to stop stuff like that, particularly if you're managing a network of computers, and it's really difficult. They don't make it very easy for you at the moment. Anyway, that's my gripe.
All right, mate. Cool. Let's go to the guests.
Yes,
Dale, we've got Stephen Cooper on. Welcome, Steve.
Hello, and thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on the podcast, mate. You actually came to us a few weeks back and you wanted to come on and have a chat.
I did, and it's been a bit tricky to line up, but glad to be here.
Good to have you on. Tell us about what you do.
So I'm the developer evangelist for Telstra Dev, so heading up all the dev.telstra.com conversations amongst developers throughout the world.
Awesome. So do you do any sort of app stuff for the Telstra 24/7 app or?
I don't. I have talked to that team though. They're really cool, doing a whole bunch of innovative stuff. But no, so I'm more developer facing. So essentially, as a dev, I come from a developer background. I get to hang out and, well, I consider it more geeking out. I get to geek out with developers throughout the world. So different developer communities. From I'm a wide stack dev. So everything from mobile app development, server builds, IoT things, like, you name it.
So I have to ask you, what are you, an Apple person or a Windows person?
I was actually listening to that and sort of thinking I wanted to jump in with, but I've kind of got one of everything. So I have an Android phone and an iOS phone, and then I've actually got two Macs, but one of them I run VM with Windows on it.
Okay.
I think as a developer, you'd want to be having a foot in every camp, because, you know, you probably get asked the ultimate questions at times as a developer. You know, will this work on Android? Will this work on Windows? Will this work on Mac or whatever? And so you've got to have your head around all the platforms, basically.
Yeah, totally. And especially like front end, like web dev, because there's things, particularly cross browser, that will work differently on, say, Android Chrome as opposed to iOS Chrome to computer Chrome.
Yep. It's one of those things that, you know, is a way, like, you know, web, when you build websites and people say, well, why does that website look different on my computer to that other person's computer? And they don't understand that it's not like a printed document where you can print 100 copies and they'll look exactly the same. You know, browser versions, OS versions, whole range of variables can turn someone's website into looking beautiful on one set of hardware and software and looking absolutely crap on someone else's system if not careful.
You know, the other day, Daryl and Steve, I was actually on Discogs and I logged in and stuff, and I couldn't believe it was actually the language was all changed on me.
Oh.
I couldn't understand how that happened. So I went into my profile and I changed it back to English because it was changed to language. So I'm not sure even how that happened.
Huh. Wow.
I don't know if the website would have had any access to have been able to do that. It's really, that is weird. That I've seen websites like that have language options where you can click, you know, and so I want to see it in English or I want to see it in German or something, but I've never actually seen that they've actually grabbed the OS or the OS has changed on you. So
yeah, it's weird. Sure, I don't know. I went on the Discogs, so I changed it back to English, and I hit save, then it's fixed. So Jacob, what do you want to say?
That was kind of weird.
It is.
And I also have something to say.
Go ahead, mate.
I put it in the chat. I was going to say it earlier.
Go ahead, say it.
Referencing Brad's Mac.
Oh, yes. Yeah, referee.
It was referencing, I was going to say, Brad's Mac is so old it farts out dust.
Oh. It's an archaeological dig site, you mean, or something like that. Yes.
Does that mean he really digs it?
Do you dig it, Brad? Do you dig it, man?
I don't know.
We're getting a bit demented here. So you deal with some big clients, I presume. I know you probably can't mention them, nothing, but you deal with some pretty big clients, I would presume.
Well, a wide range, really. So yep. I'm developer facing, so I'll sort of help developers in big organizations, small organizations, startups. I got a couple of startups in my startup program at the moment. But end of the day, like, I'm a dev. I love geeking out with other devs. So just finding out new methodologies, old methodologies. Like, yeah, I love geeking out with devs.
Yep. Oh, excellent.
Any questions for Daryl? You got any questions?
I was thinking about. I guess it's probably because you are a dev, but. What are some? Do you have a view? Because the 5G is now sort of becoming the next, you know, the next thing that's being promoted around the place. Do you have any sense of what people can expect as a like to see what the sort of products and the sort of stuff that will launch because of 5G, rather than just, of course, you know, phones will be 5G enabled eventually. But have you got any ideas, or do you think things that are in the pipeline now for 5G?
I do, but I'm going to talk slightly just left of that a little bit about the other capabilities on that part of the network, which is our IoT network, which is really exciting. That's something we're gearing up for quite big at Telstra Dev. That basically enables Internet of Things, so tiny little boards of all different descriptions, being able to connect straight through to our network securely and with a high level of encryption. And then being able to build out sort of experiences everywhere. And one of the things I love about IoT is, and particularly at hackathons, I'm at Telstra Labs this weekend where the TIC Innovate Challenge is happening for IoT at the moment, particularly solving health-related issues. But the thing I love most about IoT stuff is you never know what it's going to appear in. I ran a hackathon in Wollongong a few years ago, and I had a team turned up with a brand new toilet and attached. I kid you not, this team walked in with a brand new toilet and plonked it down on one of the desks and started building IoT stuff onto it. Oh. Absolutely awesome.
And also, I mean, with the Internet of Things, I mean, security is going to be even more paramount than, you know, the firewalls and various security options we've got in our current PCs and stuff, because I can imagine, you know, I've got this thing of a horror movie where the Internet of Things, the toaster suddenly launches and strangles a person, or the fridge suddenly decides to do something because it's been hacked. And so I guess security is going to be another one that to play across all these devices.
Oh, totally. So I first started playing with IoT stuff in 2014. And then previously, I was the evangelist for PayPal Braintree for 2 years. And of course, payments is a heavily sort of protected ecosystem anyway, but add that to IoT things, like it completely opens up whole new PCI and sort of compliance issues. One of the new IoT boards we've produced and we'll be selling through, or we'll have available and be selling through the dev portal, actually has onboard encryption to be able to even add an extra layer to that.
Oh, excellent. Because, I mean, yes, it's you know, it's, you buy computers and things and you sort of presume, oh, well, I'll have a firewall and antivirus software and all that. But when you're going into the, you know, your retail outlet to buy, you know, as you say, something like a toaster or some sort of appliance in the, you know, the past, security, you didn't have to worry about it as long as you could plug it into the power and run it. But you know, all these things are going to have to, as they roll out, they're going to have to sort of, people are going to have to be aware of them just as much as how well the product works.
Yeah, totally. And even myself, like I have a whole bunch of automation things set up around my house, and like I want to make sure that it's connecting in a way that's safe, and like I can activate the lights, and you know, only I can activate air conditioner. So yeah, totally an important topic.
Because I really love them. I really love them connected lights. I just got myself one of them Hue lights. You can use it by Siri and stuff. That's awesome. I love that sort of stuff.
Got mine set up to Google Home, but being able to change the colors and even the brightness just completely changes the room.
Exactly. I love it. Even Jagger's got one, right? Jagger, you got the Life FX bulb, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And I also have a question as well.
Go ahead, Jacob Jones.
Well, all I want to know is, like, do you have to test, like, the software on, like, cell phones for Telstra or something like that?
I don't, but there are sort of teams internally that that deal with a lot of sort of app builds for clients and also support the apps we have on the marketplaces and whatnot.
And one more, do they like sometimes send you phones to test or anything like that?
Sadly, not as yet, but I do, being a mobile dev, I've actually been playing around with Flutter lately, Google's new cross-platform language. I've got a few mobiles at home. I've actually been using my main Android as a Xiaomi.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Interesting. And Stephen, how long have you been working at Telstra now for doing what you're doing?
So I've been here since October. It literally blew my mind the first week that I was here, and they sort of started to take me through some of the stuff. One of the things that did, and so, sorry, previous to that, I was a CTO for a fintech in Brisbane. It blew my mind the first week because when they started taking me through the stuff, one of the things called the programmable network, we've built an API-driven essentially network infrastructure gateway connected to public clouds and 58 data centers, and you can control the connections between globally for basically on-demand infrastructure.
Wow.
That's heavy. It's heavy stuff for and the stuff that doesn't get promoted often. I mean, you know, we often hear of Telstra and it's just, you know, it's the phone network or it's, you know, the internet or something like that, but all that stuff you're doing behind the scenes for business and some of the big, you know, obviously some big corporates and all that sort of stuff to integrate and build in services. We sort of, that doesn't sort of come out as such in the media as such.
Working on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, and also because it actually is hard for a lot of people to understand too when you're talking about, you know, APIs and stuff like that. A lot of people just sort of their eyes roll back in their head. So it's a way of explaining it in simple terms. Yes.
Yeah. No, I've seen that before. No, it's interesting, and I think that's one of the things I love the most is being able to take sort of the stories out and be able to sort of share that with developers. Like, I love sharing information, and particularly Telstra is a technology company. So we also, Telstra Ventures, for example, invest heavily into global tech startups and global tech scale-ups. The likes of GitLab and Nginx, and like, I love these companies. Like, I use them freely, like in my own personal projects, but being able to work closely with them is amazing.
Yes. Oh yeah, excellent. So, have you got any sort of tips, or like, have you got some sort of secret thing you can let the Tech Webcast audience know that Telstra are doing, like that no one else knows about? You know, like, can we get that? Can we get that? Like the tip,
hot 5G hot tip. Or anything like that?
Yeah, sort of like
that's... oh, like 6G? No, not
6G.
Yet.
6G.
I guess there's a few beta programs coming up, particularly for the Dev Portal this year, which will basically give you access, early stage access, to some of the stuff we're building out. In particular, like I said, the IoT stuff, which is huge. Like even before it's open, there's already 7 digits worth of devices connected to it in Australia. It's pretty big, and this basically does enable everything to be connected to your experiences, your gateways, etc. So we've got a few different beta products coming this year. They'll be released through the Dev Portal. What else? Oh, we also have an event coming up in Melbourne where we'll be talking about a whole bunch of this stuff on the 6th of June. So I've actually set up a special code for anyone listening in Melbourne that wants to come by. Tech Webcast is the code to be able to grab a ticket to that.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome. Thanks,
Steve. Excellent. So, all you budding developers out there, or that want to hook up with Telstra and incorporate your products into the Internet of Things or all this other development stuff, grab that code and get along.
Yeah.
I have another good question.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, I feel like everybody. It's like I was thinking. You know how people lose their signal on their cell phones?
Yes.
Why not like a little something into the phone itself that, if they're in a dead area, it sends a message, it logs it and sends it to the server so they can fix it? Well, wouldn't that be pretty good?
Well, wouldn't they already know the Telstra's already broken and they're fixing it?
Yeah, but... No, like if it's working,
do you
someone understand? Walks into a dead spot.
Do you
understand Steve, what he's saying?
I do. It's funny. So one of the hackathons I was involved in at PayPal, BattleHack, one of the winning teams from that actually developed. And again, I love hackathons because you never know what you're going to find. But one of the teams there developed an app that basically enabled you to piggyback messages to a device that running the app that was actually able to get signal and be able to get a message out.
So you mean sort of like, Jacob, if you're walking around, like, do you mean dead spots as in you don't have a mobile signal at all, or so that you can sort of send the message to, say, so the telcos know, like they get a bit of an idea of where the dead spots are in a certain area.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so some sort of monitoring thing where people could walk along and say, you know, I mean, a lot of the telcos obviously do know the major black spots because they've probably been, people have probably screamed at them as well. But so if you were in a car and your device could just send a ping off and say, well, I was on such and such a road and it 15 kilometres, I lost signal and I gained it again at 17 kilometres or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm not putting words in your mouth, I hope, Jacob, when I say that.
Yeah. No, that's actually helping.
Yeah.
So, Steve, what else you been up to, Steve, before we wrap the podcast up, because we've got a few more minutes to go.
Last weekend, I was at the Intuit Hackathon as an integration partner, which was really cool. I love hackathons. That's why I'm out in one this weekend. but that was my 116th developer talk that I had done since 2014. So I was able to do a workshop. Actually, the workshop was only supposed to go for half an hour, and I ended up going for an hour and a half. Yeah, which was cool hanging out with devs, just seeing, you know, the tools they're using, how they use them, and the stuff they built.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Aldwyn, any questions before we wrap the podcast up? I think she's muted.
I am here. Hello. I've just arrived in Brisbane. It's been very interesting chatting with you guys, and I must say I don't really understand much about this technology that you're developing Steve. So could you just tell us, for those on listening to this that don't understand exactly what you're developing, what it actually does, can you just explain in simple terms what it is that you do for Telstra?
Yep. So I am the public face of our developer program. So I head up Telstra Dev working closely with developer communities throughout the world to help them build out solutions using our integrations, our APIs, our connectivity into platform. And that's spanning sort of domestic, so in Australia, Australian functionality, and then also global functionality. A lot of our platforms are a global approach to technology, and that'll either be directly with us or through our investment companies like GitLab and Nginx, et cetera.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And what technology do you use to actually do your developing? So what sort of software or what sort of, do you create it from scratch or how do you do the tech side of it?
I'm going to say yes, because I'm basically what I call a wide stack dev. So previously a CTO and a dev and a tech lead, et cetera. I kind of cover, I'm language agnostic, so I can use most programming languages. So it's everything from building from scratch, building modules for different platforms. An example is we're just about to release, I've actually in the late stages of testing it, a marketplace integration for our messaging API. So this allows you to send SMS and MMS from Slack.
Okay.
And we're integrating that into a few other chat programs soon too.
That's what we should use. That's cool. Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool.
So what that enables is you can set up a regular mobile number that people can message into, and you just get a message into Slack. You can respond to that too, and it will send them a message back from the Slack chat.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Hey, do you do anything, so I wear an Apple Watch. Do you do any work with the Apple Watch at all? Any sort of apps or anything like that for the Apple Watch?
I don't sort of directly. I think Telstra's got a couple, but I do demos in Swift and iOS, and I've been playing around last few months with a language called Flutter, which is Google's new cross-platform mobile development language, which is really powerful and really quick.
Very nice. Okay. So, Steve, where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you, mate?
I'm Developer Steve on every social media sort of known, even on Weibo, which is Chinese Facebook. I don't speak Chinese, but I can do a really good emoji.
How's that?
It's the Chinese version of, because Facebook, I don't know what it is, it's if it's still banned in China, but it was banned in China. Facebook was banned in China, or blocked in China. So they got their own sort of version.
It actually has some really nice features. It's kind of a combination LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook all in one.
Oh, no.
Because yes. Oh, excellent. So they're all that messaging stuff. That's going to be really cool when it starts, integrating SMS with other stuff will be good. I look forward to that.
We if you sign up at the dev portal, we have a free domestic mobile number and 1,000 SMS and MMS for free. That just using the API integration.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah, very cool. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz on a Tech Webcast. Steve, appreciate your time being on the podcast, mate. I'm glad that we had you on.
Thanks for having me. Do I have time for a quick developer joke?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead.
What do you call a computer that sings?
Dunno.
Adele.
Very good. I love Adele. I saw her live in Brisbane.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, Adele.
Any joke, Steve, anymore?
Yeah.
Oh, I have many. We'll be here for many hours.
We'll have to bring you up.
One more.
Yep.
All right. How many developers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Don't know.
None. It's a hardware problem.
Yeah, I can get that one. Yeah. So we'll have to bring you back for your stand-up routine in the future.
I'll bring the full list with me.
We'll do a Developer Steve stand-up on Tech Webcast. You can do an audio stand-up version on Tech Webcast.
And Steve, do you recommend this podcast to tech people? Would you recommend it?
Definitely. You're all really cool.
Thanks, mate.
Cool.
Appreciate
bananas.
That. Jacob Jones, have you got any jokes?
No.
You're putting him on the spot.
Put it this way, mine are not, would be censored on TV.
Oh, so I haven't got a beep button on the on my iPad to beep the stuff out. So we better.
You should hear some of the shit that Jacob actually says to me during the week on FaceTime.
No, Darryl. So well, yeah. Perhaps I don't want to, you know.
Let's just say
so it, random, man.
It's a random.
Some of it's not safe.
Yeah, so no, we'll have to leave. Otherwise, we'll be pushed into Apple's adult, you know, whatever it is for podcasts if we start getting into some of that stuff.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah, tell us afterwards when we've stopped the recording.
did you want one more?
My recording just crashed, Darryl, by the way. Oh, fuck.
Did it?
No, tech problems.
No.
All right, anyway. You got a recording there, right, Darryl?
I have got the recording. Yes, I've got the recording, but it's still recording. So,
that's a sign of finding money. He's going downhill. Go ahead, Alden.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You can connect with me to just Google Aldwyn Altener. You'll find me on Facebook. Twitter is at Aldwyn. LinkedIn. You'll find me on Instagram, Aldwyn Altener _MediaQueen. You'll find me on Pinterest, on YouTube. Check out my YouTube channel. We've just done some fresh movie reviews on the Movie Review TV show on YouTube last night. I think you'll find those quite interesting. And also on my website, aaexpos.com.
You're out of breath, Aldwyn.
Yeah, I just walked up some steps to the convention centre. I need to get a bit fitter, I think. Yes.
All right. So you get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Jake. What about you?
You can follow me on Tech Webcast alongside Brad.
No, I don't. What about your Twitter though, mate?
I don't like to give that one anymore.
Why?
I like using Tech Webcast.
Anyway, you can follow Jacob. If you want to follow him, just ask me. I'll tell you Twitter name. what else, Darryl?
You can follow me at LearnScape on the Twitters, and I'm still one of the rare people that still uses Google+, even though, you know, precious few don't use it now these days. And I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and MySpace and WeChat and Tango and
you use Tango, dude.
Oh, I had an account there years ago. I don't know whether it's still active, but I always try a lot of when a new app used to come out, particularly a messaging app. I used to always sort of give it a go and say, oh well, I'll see what it's like. It might be the app, you know. It might be the one, you know, like the Lord of the Rings. It might be the sort of, you know, the one app to rule them all. But I was always bitterly disappointed because they were never, you know, I suppose that's, you know, you're never going to get the perfect app. So, but yeah, so you can find me on all those platforms. I don't know whether I'll answer on all of them, but you can find me there.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm on Google+ too, by the way. I'll just sneak that in.
Yeah, Google+. There's two of us on Google+, so that means Google will keep it going then, obviously.
I'm on Google+, but I never use it.
Oh.
I'm on Google+, but I never use it too. I hate it. It's boring.
Yeah, I don't use it very often.
Oh, there goes Larry Page.
Some of the hangouts that me and Jacob did a few years back was unbelievable, right, Jacob? Crazy, right? Some of the hangouts we've been in.
Yeah, a couple of the hangouts where we found a glitch that with the mics.
Yeah. Tell Darryl about that guy who blocked you, that cooking guy. I found that really funny.
Yeah, the cooking guy blocked me for no reason.
Oh.
I thought I was a hacker.
Hangouts has sort of been hived off Google+ in the sense that a lot of that integrate. I know we're sort of going on a bit past time, but a lot of that integration that Google started, where Google+ was going to be the portal for all things Google, it's all been pulled apart again now, so that Google+ is almost a separate entity. To, you know, it was linked to YouTube. It was linked to Hangouts. It was linked to various other things. It was going to be the place where you'd log into and chat with people, a bit like Facebook, and then you'd link to the other Google services. Well, that's all been after Vic Gondotra left the company. It's all been
Yeah, it's all gone down
here. Despawned, if you're using a gaming term. It's all been broken apart. So,
crazy.
So it's still there. It's still a good platform, but, yeah, not many people use it.
All right, well, then you and Jacob can wrap the podcast up. Daryl, you guys can say something funny and do a wrap, maybe.
Well, put that on us, Jacob, didn't he? I mean, I haven't got anything funny to say. I'm not the Telstra dev. I haven't got the stand up routine. You know that.
Maybe Jake can tell a joke before we go.
No, I can't do that, Brad.
I've got one. If you want me to use that to close.
Yeah. Use Steve. Use the joke to see.
I tell you the one about the little the calendar app, but it's a little dated.
Thank you. Right, so we're about to start our final gagging in 5 minutes.
The hackathon's kicking off.
Ah. Awesome. Cool. We got a recording. We got a recording of the hackathon. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. So this has been episode 474.
Right. University and
life at
RMIT.
Public. I think we're about to wrap the podcast.
Yeah. That's episode 474 of Tech Webcast. We even got a preview of the hackathon that Steve is involved in through the recording here. We will see you all again next Saturday, I think it's about the 1st of June, for episode 475 of Tech Webcast. So from everyone at Tech Webcast, goodbye, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Bye.
Bye.
And Jacob lost the game.
You lost the game again? Oh.
Oh, so hold on. This is live. My iPad almost froze on me. Naughty Apple, naughty.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5.
Tech Webcast.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.